Today on Windows Wednesday, we talk about Microsoft removing even more ways of setting up your Windows 11 computer without a Microsoft account. Why are they doing this? We'll kind of get into this and some workarounds and solutions today. Thanks for checking out this video by Switch to Linux. And today we are going to be having a look at this Windows removing even more means of setting up your computer without a Microsoft account. If you do like this type of content, subscribe to the channel if you've not already done so. Leave us a like and a comment down below to help boost the channel in the algorithm. And we are going to be talking about an article here from Ars. They are removing even more of the Microsoft account workarounds, and their reasoning kind of tells you everything that you need to know. The article here from Ars Technica is a very nice article, and so we'll kind of dig into that. So, of course, just in a couple of weeks here, your Windows 10 will stop receiving security updates if you're still on Windows 10. This does not mean your computer is going to stop running. And as we did cover in a video, I think it was last week, no, people are not switching to Windows 7 because of this. That article came out, and a lot of people even reported it that way. But if you actually dug into the data, it was just some weird anomaly of Windows 7 greatly skyrocketing in Asian countries. That's not a global trend everywhere. Germany had a little spike as well for some reason. But most people who are not switching to Windows 11 or enrolling in the extended support updates, which also require you to have a Microsoft account, those people will just continue to run their system, and many people will be just fine on that for several months. But as hackers find their way in, they will find ways to breach your data. And it is important to keep your security up to date. First and foremost, I want to mention that these are things that are rolling out in the developer channels. Even the removal of the OOEBE system utilizing the Shift-F10 method when you're setting up Windows 11 computer still works to this day in the live models. It's just in the developer channel they remove that. And the thing is, though, is that they commented on this specifically with a very specific reason, indicating they have a very strong intent, probably shortly after the end of Windows 10 support altogether, because that's really when most people do wait until the last possible minute. And so let's go ahead and see what they're going to do first. And then if everybody, I got to get a new computer now you're forcing more people onto it. It is kind of a weird, shady way of doing it. But having a look at it, various sanctioned and unsanctioned tools and workarounds existed, allowing people to set up their PCs with an old-fashioned local account. These workarounds haven't changed much in the last 3 years, but Microsoft is looking to remove these. So here's the difference here if you are not necessarily a computer guy. A modern Windows system, by default, you go to Best Buy, you bring your computer home, you set it all up, and you turn the power button on. It is going to force you to have an internet connection and to sign in with a Microsoft account, whether an account you already have or creating a new Microsoft account. The old way, you would set up some local account, and then you might have the option for a Microsoft online account. They're trying to make sure that every Windows 11 computer has a Microsoft account. This ties into their supposed solution to encrypting your data by storing the passkeys. Of course, it's a giant workaround circular reasoning logic. It's kind of funny. Think about this, okay? They want to protect your data, so they are taking the passkeys that you don't even know are being set up and storing them in your Microsoft account. But the only way to get into your Microsoft account is by using the TPM 2.0 module on that particular piece of hardware, because you don't know what hardware authentication is. They are disabling the means to set up a Microsoft account with a password unless you explicitly work hard to get that password turned back on. So the only way to get into that Microsoft account is the passkeys. So you don't understand how to access your Microsoft account if you're going to somebody else's house or visiting a relative and you need to check your email or something, and you do not know you have to sign into that account with that particular piece of hardware. Well, if that particular piece of hardware goes bad, you can't get in a Microsoft account. You can't get in a Microsoft account. You can't get the passkeys that you don't even know were created. And then without the passkeys, you can't extract the data from hard drive. It's a giant circular argument Microsoft is doing here. Of course, if you're setting things up properly, you have multiple means to get in. You might have a password and an MFA, like a YubiKey. You might have a passkey set up on the TPM module. You might have a secondary passkey set up on like a KeePass file, which is more portable. There are ways to do it properly. The problem is we are in a world where the average consumer still sees things only in the means of usernames and passwords. Most people haven't even gotten their head around multi-factor authentication, let alone hardware passkeys that are embedded in the hardware on their computer. And so Microsoft is doing a serious disservice, not to mention the fact that Microsoft accounts are notoriously difficult to get into if they happen to get blocked by some AI bot and you are simply stuck in AI hell. And everybody I know, like, I've not encountered anybody who's ever successfully gotten a Microsoft account back, which means if all of your files are synced to this computer and this way of logging in and everything you're doing is synced to it, and of course, they're taking all your contacts because you're doing that. I think most people are still using like Google for that, shamedly. But you could lose your emails, you could lose your accounts, you could lose your files, you could lose everything if some AI bot looks at something weird, like, you know, on Google Drive, they were doing it for something as simple as a blank document in Google Docs with the letter A as the file name. True story. They're blocking people's Google accounts over that. Of course, there's a mass rise of Google accounts being banned right now for that trend of using their own AI to create a picture of you hugging a younger version of you. Interesting. Okay, but on to Microsoft. They're trying to force everybody to have these accounts. They said here that they announced that it is removing known mechanisms for creating local accounts in Windows Setup Experience, the OOBE. This is like it stands for something, onboarding experience. The OEM onboarding experience, I think, is what it stands for. I don't remember exactly what that stands for, but the setup of the computer. What they said about it is the workarounds invernally skip critical setup screens, potentially causing users to exit OOBE with a device that is not fully configured to use. Well, that's interesting. So you can see that their statements indicate that, yes, they are intending to do this. What are these steps you inadvertently skip? Well, you inadvertently skip syncing your settings and files to the computer, which they like to do by default. You inadvertently skip taking those passkeys they're trying to force and putting them in their cloud. So, you know, if some person kicks in your door for wrongthink, like, you know, sharing a meme or something, and they confiscate your computer, they can just go to Microsoft for the passkey. You know, they can't do that if your computer is not on the internet. Not to mention they want to verify your phone number as part of it so they can authenticate who you are as a person. This is the ultimate goal. Microsoft wants to know who every single person is utilizing their computers online at all times. That is their end goal. Of course, you miss out on those very important configuration steps like upselling Game Pass and upselling Office 365 and syncing everything into OneDrive so that they can, you know, look at what all your files are doing, make sure you're not engaging in wrongthink after all. That's kind of what their goal is here. But yeah, they say openly in their post, inadvertently skip critical setup screens. Ars Technica has their own take on that in a minute. We'll get to that. So they remove the commands, the OOBE, and they did this a little while ago, but they also removed this brand new one that started running around, Start MS CXH Local Only. That is a workaround that has been more recently documented. I've not actually set up a computer with that. I've done the OOBE bypass NRO. I've done that one before. Not done this other one. They say in the current Windows releases, you can do the Shift F10, input either of those two commands in the terminal, and it will remove both the Microsoft account requirement and the internet connection requirement. Because, of course, we also know that everybody has to always be online at all times. Didn't you guys know that? Come on. You know. So, Ars Technica says here that it's unclear what the critical setup screens are that Microsoft's referring to, of course. You know, the PR person's talking, so you know they're lying after all. But signing in with a Microsoft account does add multiple screens to the process, including attempting to sell you Office 365, Xbox Game Pass subscriptions, and to opt you into features like data scraping on Windows Recall on PCs that support it. Wonderful, yes. See, you cannot be marketed to on the setup of the $1,000 computer computer you just bought if you're setting it up without an internet connection. They can extract even more dollars from you so that Nutella and whoever else is up there in the executive suite can buy another yacht. I mean, come on, guys. You need to let them have another yacht. Doesn't matter if you're going to be, you know, buying that cookbook in your future, you know, 50 ways to make Alpo and enjoy it, but, you know. What about the timing, of course? A Windows setup process generally required an internet connection. Of course, you could bypass this, but even now on Windows 10, they're trying to push this as well. You could get around this on Pro Editions, but not as easily on the Home Editions. So the preview builds of Windows, the preview builds of these have these. Some of the changes could be included in the final release in 25H2. Or will be added to 25H2 via regular patches. Others could wait until Windows 11 26H2 release or beyond. I think, though, what we're going to see is we're going to see the end of Windows 10 support, and then probably within a few weeks, we're going to see these pushed out so that the people who waited until the 0 day can go out, they'll buy their new computer, and then they'll be forced onto those Microsoft accounts. I think that that's what we're going to see. I've highlighted here in red something I want to talk about here. In any case, it seems clear that Microsoft will not reverse course even due to the negative feedback. So this is overwhelmingly negative feedback, but it seems clear that Microsoft is not going to reverse course on this. All right. The bottom line, they want every person always authenticated onto their computer. They want that person verified by their phone number. They want to know everything about that person. They want to extract that data for their own marketing, and they want to extract that data for their own identification. So, you know, when some of these big movie or music industry lobbyists come out, it's no longer, well, we know it was on this IP. They can be like, hey, it was on this IP at this particular time. They can go to Microsoft. Microsoft will be like, oh, I know exactly who that person was using that computer at that time. They were signed in with their Microsoft account to verify with their phone number. Yeah, we know who they are. You know, government, same issue. They can come in and do the same thing, you know. So the company is even pushing Windows 10 users to sign in. So anybody that wants to stick with Windows 10 on the ESU, the Extended Security Update Program, you have to have your Windows 10 computer signed in. They say down here, they link to the article we talked about last week. In some countries, Microsoft will even pull the Windows 10 updates if you do not stay in. That is not correct. Like, Microsoft's not going to remove the security updates you have. What they will do is, if your computer does not sign into Microsoft every 60 days, it will de-enroll your computer from the ESU program. So that's kind of what they say over here. So Ars Technica made it sound like Windows was going to uninstall the updates you've already installed. That is not the case. That's not what's going to go on. But what they say down here is, they say it down here, at least if your system has to be signed in at least once every 60 days or having access to the extended security updates revoked on their computer. If it is not used to sign in for a period of 60 days, ESU updates will be discontinued and you'll need to re-enroll using the same Microsoft account. All right. So it's not true that they're going to rip out the updates you had. It's that you will not receive any updates if you have not logged in every 60 days. Now, that applies to EU, because EU says, yeah, Microsoft, you're not allowed to charge for that. And us over here, we just let every company go ahead and roofie every one of their customers at all times. So, you know. Now, they did say that they did fix one thing, because this is something I didn't know, because, you know, I haven't set up a Windows computer for a long time, and certainly haven't set one up utilizing a local account or a Microsoft account. Apparently, when you set up your computer with a Microsoft account, you get a long string of random characters as your username, and nobody thought to fix this earlier. So they're finally fixing this. You can set the default user folder name. So I've always set up my computers with the local account, and my folder name is nice and easily my name, my username, and my computer. Microsoft never thought to add this until recently. And so you get a lot of the discussion here. It's like, hey, can we like have a same user folder? Well, apparently you now can do that while you're setting up your account. You can do a specific command. Now, it's not automatic for some reason. You got to do a specific command via the command prompt that will let a user choose the name for the user folder. This way you can get that nice, short, predictable name that you want and not the random string of characters that Microsoft has wanted to force on everybody for a long time. Wonderful. Who would have thought I might want my local computer to, I don't know, maybe have my username as the local account? But Microsoft doesn't want you to have a local account. Microsoft itself, they simply want everybody signed in to your computer with their Microsoft account. They want to treat every single PC as some networked system like your work computer is. You know, it's just an empty shell. All the data is over there. That's really what Microsoft wants. They want to authenticate every user. They want every person there to have the same exact setup. They want every user in a household to have their own Microsoft setup. That's kind of their goal. Whether that's happening, I doubt it, although maybe. Just think about this cell phone revolution, right? There was a time one phone number represented anybody in the whole family, and now it's become the point where typically each individual member of a household now has their own phone number. Well, Microsoft might be trying to do the exact same thing. There's no longer one computer representing the whole household. There is an individual user account on every single user, whether there's one computer or five computers in the house. They want everybody authenticated with their own individual account so that they know exactly who every person is. It's better for marketing, and it's better for fulfilling these no-knock gag warrants that they tend to like to get for, you know, simply sharing spicy memes or stuff like that. Now, as I've been talking about this, I've seen an overwhelming comment appear regularly in my videos. Just use LTSC. I hear it all the time. Every video. In fact, even though I'm mentioning it here, and I'm going to address why that's not a viable option here, I'm still going to have a bunch of people say that. Now, I know I'm going to get about five or six of you that are like leaving that comment just in snarkiness because I'm bringing it up now. But there's going to be a whole lot of people who actually mean it because they're not actually watching the videos. It's like, copy, paste, copy, paste, copy, paste. Copy paste every video that talks about Windows and the end of life. So I wanted to go ahead and have a deeper dive into this. Well, let's just use LTSC. Just do that, man. Come on. So LTSC is an enterprise system. It is a version of the operating system which does not have the feature updates. It just has the security updates. I think this should be something that's available to everybody. Now, first and foremost, there are two LTSCs. One of them does follow the exact same system requirements, including the TPM 2.0. So I have people like, well, use the LTSC IoT. The LTSC IoT is specifically for embedded machines. It's not a full Windows system. It does specific things. Now, that one is optionally supports TPM 2.0, but it's not required because it's not a full operating system. So I did want to go ahead and have a look at this briefly. And particularly look at this question, which addresses this issue. Can I install it on my PC? Yes, you can install it. But there are some caveats. First, Microsoft does not offer LTSC version for regular consumers. The company only makes this release available through volume licensing program for large organizations. So if you happen to have a large organization that would like to steal company assets by giving you a personal LTSC license for your personal computer, have at it. And I do recognize that some companies might buy a bunch of them and freely offer them to their employees. That would be really cool. And if you have that as an option, go ahead and use that. But you as a regular consumer that's like, I don't like this Windows 10 nonsense or Windows 11 nonsense going around. I want the Windows 11 LTSC. Good luck. You ain't getting it. And if you happen to find it somewhere on the internet, it's probably a virus. I would encourage you not to install that. But I have so many people leave me the comment, just run LTSC. It ain't that simple. It ain't that simple. Okay, you're not going to do that. Of course, here is the IoT version is where the TPM 2.0 is optional, Secure Boot is optional, DirectX 10 or higher is optional. All of these other ones are effectively the same requirements for Windows 11. But the IoT here is really for embedded systems. The IoT system is what you have embedded in your CarPlay system, in your infotainment. It's in the ATM machines. It's in your point of sale machines, things like that. They're a very specific streamlined for a very specific purpose. Now, the Windows Enterprise LTSC, this one here is one that this one could run on any standard computer, and most people have good luck with it. It's not quite as crazy. Of course, we did cover TinyCore 11. That is a way that you can get a full Windows 10 running. Of course, does it survive updates? There's questions about that. But I do hear people saying all the time, use LTSC. It is not a viable solution. Okay, what is a viable solution, however, is Linux. Now, again, not for 100% everybody. There are cases where people work in a particular industry, and in that industry, they have to have a specific piece of software that only works under Windows. You can't work it under Wine. You can't have other workarounds for it. And so I get those are situations, but those are also work situations. What I'm targeting here on this channel are individual home users, individual people who are utilizing their computers for the basic things we've always done at home. We're looking at our photographs. We are browsing the internet. We're checking our email. We're entertaining ourselves. We might be playing some games. Windows 11 is a horrible, horrible operating system for those things because they want to, their claws and everything. They want to constantly push you in ways. They want to constantly market to you. Linux doesn't do that. So let's look at these five reasons why you should move to Linux instead of Windows 10. So number one is no more bloatware. Yes, you will have software that is required for running your computer and not a lot else. Now, there are some computers that have more stuff in it, and the question is, what is bloatware? It's a basic system tool like a character map or a font reader, a bloatware or not. Some people think it is, some people think it isn't. But ultimately, we don't have software that's perpetually running around your computer that you can't completely get rid of and constantly pops you up to say, hey, you haven't used OneDrive yet. Would you like to configure this? I hear it all the time watching people on like YouTube or other video content creators. You know, they got these things doing, and all of a sudden a Windows notification goes on the background. You know what was going on? They were involved in actual production and bring, you haven't set up OneDrive. No crap. Really? I didn't know that. This is only like the 8th time you reminded me this week. Can you not notify me about such things when I'm, I don't know, making a video? But we do not get bloatware. We have better support for older hardware. This is particularly relevant right now because all these people are basically being told that your computer, which is perfectly fine, sorry, you just can't have the latest Windows. Sorry about that. But the reality here is you can set up Windows, you can set up Linux on the hardware that your Windows computer will not support. And this is actually a useful thing. So you don't need a new computer. You would want to back up all of your files. Make sure you have all those files, all those, all the pictures, all the images, just everything that you need. Pictures, your movies, you know, your documents, things like that. Make sure those are safe and secure on a separate file. Install Linux and then move them back on over there. You do not need to worry about these paid licenses. You know, all these licenses for Office or Windows or all these different things. Yeah, all the software is typically available on Linux without it. There's some exceptions. There are some paid applications on Linux. Some of them are even proprietary. But for the most part, you can get by with pretty much every major need that you have on a system without having those extra software licenses and things like that. Privacy is a priority on Linux. As a generality, Linux systems don't generally care what you're doing. They're not keeping detailed statistics. They're not constantly uploading all of your system use cases, copies of your files, file names, stuff like that. They're not uploading all that stuff to their cloud. There's no central government that's looking to monetize or snitch on you for the things that you're doing. Privacy is important for the vast majority of Linux distributions. And so definitely that is a seller. And then, of course, you can get back to customizing. This is one of the things that I was deeply, deeply pleased with. I remember I was that geek back even before Windows 98 released themes. If you remember Windows themes, they were pretty cool. You know, you go in there and select the jungle theme and all this kind of stuff. Before Windows 98 came out and did that, still on my Windows 95, I looked at all of the things in the Windows registry about what makes the theme, and I actually created registry files and created a theme changer on my Windows 95 computer. I put them then on the start menu, and I went up just if I want to change my theme, I just go to the start menu. I had a folder called themes. I go into there and I select the theme. It would change my sound effects, my wallpapers, the colors, the mouse icons. I even created mouse cursors using the old freeware Microlangelo to do mouse cursors in the day. It was totally awesome. And so you know, that customization was lost. I move over to XP and they take some of that away. And then you move to Windows 7. I had no control anymore. It was frustrating. And I'm just like, oh, just gonna use your computer again. And then it got out to the point where I switched back to Linux. I'm like, wait, I can control how my computer looks now? Well, that's neat. Let's go ahead and play with that. And so I did. I went ahead and played with that, and I wanted to test around and see just what I could do. And in many ways, I generally keep most of my computers the way they install for the most part. I'm not as interested in the theming as much as I used to be, but there are systems that I've done some much more heavily customizing on just to get things exactly the way I like. And that's also an important thing. But you can customize your computer a whole lot better with Linux. So, of course, I always recommend Linux Mint. There's many, many really good Linux distributions. But as far as what just matches the most hardware, what is easiest to use, what is most familiar, what has the least bugs over the years, I just tell everybody, start with Linux Mint. Use this as your gateway into Linux. And then if you want to move on to something else later, move on to something else later. But for the most part right now, this is actually a really good system to check out. So I'm going to leave the video here with a comprehensive guide to looking at Linux Mint, show you what you're in for if you're doing that. And don't forget, the end of Windows 10 support is right around the corner. Are you giving them that Microsoft account? Or are you going to be like, you know what, I'm going to try out this Linux thing? So let me know your thoughts in the comments down below.